Anytime I get emotional, sometimes I talk to Lim about this at the end of the service, or yesterday, last Sunday. Sometimes I feel like I should apologize because I feel like sometimes when we get emotional, we lose control, right? But understand, I'm trying to speak from my heart, and sometimes I do get emotional. And I will say this too. Just because I'm loud and emotional doesn't make me right. I still tell you, go look in this book. Amen. You find something in this book that you believe is different than what I just said, then I tell you, you're not following God's will if you don't call me out. I'm not talking about every sermon. we can be battling during the sermon. Send me an email. Send me a call. I'd love to hear your concern. Interesting. Many times when I have differences of opinion with people about something out of the Word of God, I say, let's go have a cup of coffee. Let's go talk about it. And you know how many have taken me up on that so far? Zero. That's sad. How important do you think your views are that you're not willing to sit down with a pastor and talk about them? That says very little about it. If you feel that I'm wrong, that I'm misleading, that I'm misdirecting, that I'm not utilizing the Word of God in a way that's honoring to Him, and it's your place, you should call me. You should contact me. And if you're afraid of me for some reason, which I hope is not true, contact one of the other leaders of the church. We'll set up a conversation. I want to tell you, I've talked to my pastor throughout the years, shared things I was concerned about. And I believe in the midst of it, the opportunity is there for us to learn, both the pastor as well as the one who questions what's being said. This morning, my sermon, or part two, is speaking of the sovereignty of God. And obviously this is tied to what I felt the need to speak about first thing this morning as well. The sovereignty of God. How big is your God? I want to tell you, mine is very big. He's much bigger than you and I. He's much bigger than any political party. He's much bigger than any country. He's bigger than this world that He created. Job 42 and 2. Job says, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Now, if you don't know your Bible, you don't know about Job, I'm not going to give you a sermon on Job. But I'm telling you, if you don't know, go back and read what he went through. He didn't understand what was going on. Can I say he had trials beyond anyone who's sitting here in this building? I think I can say that strongly. I know I can say it about myself. And yet his faith was as such that he said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. I want to say, I stand with Job. Doesn't mean I always understand what's going on. Doesn't mean that I always choose right and good in my own life. But I stand with Job in saying, I believe in a God who will not be thwarted. That if He has an intention of something taking place, there is nothing that's going to stop that. I've seen broken pieces of a sculpture in a museum in Rome. The main large sections that are left are simply the feet. And this sculpture is believed to have been once a full statue of a sitting man. And it's thought to have been carved clear back into the 4th century. It was destroyed at some point, and most of what we have today was discovered in the 15th century. And even more additional fragments were found in 1951. I'm speaking about what you see in front of you, the feet of Constantine. What's left of the statue, those are the main pieces that are left. And the full sculpture was of a sitting man, and it represented, as I shared with you there in the slide, Constantine. or Constantine, the first Christian emperor of Rome, who lived in 280 to 337. He's the emperor who many historians proclaim as the one who said Rome's faith is going to be Christianity. Now pause in your imagination for just a moment. Attempt to go back into the 4th century. And you're just going about your business, buying things, selling things, dating, just walking down the street. And you come by this man working on this sculpture. This sculpture that is going to eventually be, we believe, 35 foot tall, and the feet themselves are 6.5 feet long. He's working on this gargantuan sculpture. And you walk by, and he's just beginning, and he's at the heel. Think for a moment what you would actually see. You're not the artist. You've not been told what the artist is doing or not doing. You simply walk by, and he's working on the heel. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, our main text for this part is going to be in Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation awaits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, bless our minds as we seek your guidance in these words that were written so long ago. Help us to see the value in it in 21st century America. Help us to lean on it, to trust it. Help each of us individually see within these words what it is that we need to hear. The ones standing behind the pulpit, as well as those who are in front, and those who may be listening through Facebook Live. We take time to simply say, you are worthy, you are honorable. Guide us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you see in the midst of these scriptures and many others that there is an overall purpose for all of creation? Some people suggest or think that they serve a God who simply started something and then walked away, or just sits back and ignores what's happening. If you know your Bible, if you read your Bible, if you go back and look into history, from the very beginning, God interacts and cares about His creation. And He is continually working on massaging and putting them in the direction of where they need to be. Not just to honor Him, but it's also good for them. He wants nothing but good for His creation. And understand, He has an overall purpose. And I stand with Job, and that purpose will not be thwarted by any man. It will take place in His time and in His way. All that we see going in our own little lives, as well as in our country, as well as in the world, is not just simple randomness on a regular basis. God is involved. Now, I'm not here to tell you, prophesy where God did this and God did this and why this has happened to you, why this has happened to this country. But I will tell you this, I believe all my heart, God is involved. Not only did He create His, not only His, does His creation have purpose, but can you see in the text that we read this morning, you have purpose. I don't know about you, but it blesses my heart to sense that the Creator reached down to me and said, I want you, and I have something for you to do. In verse 29, again, he said, for those who He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Can you see, in one sense, He gifted you. He gave you opportunities to live in this life. Right, we're not all called to be missionaries. We're not all called to be pastors. We're not all called to be electricians. Some people I work with would suggest I'm not called to be an electrician either. God has gifted us, given us an ability, and in a sense has set us on our way. The Bible says that God told Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your womb. He has a plan. He has a purpose. But understand, whatever it is you're doing, what is overwhelming, or should umbrella, whatever it is you're doing, I don't care if you're working in an office, or swinging a hammer, or simply taking care of the kids at home. Part of your overall purpose in God's creation is to draw others unto God. We do that by choosing to honor Him. By choosing to live a life that continually reflects that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I got in a conversation with a letter between, I've shared with you before, a friend that's in jail for murder. He's been in jail for over 30 years now. And he got in, him and I, it's interesting in letters, right, to still have a conversation, but he was talking about the sign of the devil, or right, the 666, and worrying about that. And I was telling him about, listen, all I worry about is putting my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not worried about anybody sneakily sticking something in my arm or jamming something on my forehead or what. I'm not worried about that. I don't have to worry about that. Jesus took care of me 2,000 years ago. My faith stands on that. Amen. Listen, if Jesus truly felt that we needed to continually worry about that, wouldn't He have said it about it Himself? He didn't. Listen, I know that's in the Bible, and we're going to discuss that on Wednesday night, later on, sometime this quarter. We're going to talk a little bit about the last days, but I want to tell you here this morning, Jesus Christ didn't say a word about you walking around worrying about someone stamping you with something. He didn't say that. What I said in my letter to my friend Tom Dinger, I said, listen, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I desire to live a moral life, and I desire to love God's people. To love people in general. I said, that's all I need to worry about. I'm not threatening, worrying about what my government is or is not doing. I'm not worried about it. I'm not. Yes, when it's in turmoil, that concerns me. I'm not saying, and I don't want people getting hurt. Don't understand. I'm not saying I'm totally unattached from it. I realize it's going on. But I'm saying, I don't feel my government taking anything away from me. I'm going to tell you, I serve a God that won't allow them to take anything away from me. I have no fear of that. Listen, you were given a purpose, and you see in Romans 8:29, part of that purpose is for you to draw others to the Lord Jesus Christ by living a life that is honoring to Him. But notice too, suffering is inevitable. Paul here speaks about suffering. He says, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Jesus also said, in this life you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. I will overcome by serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Regardless of what comes into my life, regardless of what trouble, whether it's... I fear that we sometimes, this political stuff, we brought it upon ourselves. But listen, regardless of what it is, whether it has something to do with politics, whether it has something to do with your health, whether it has something to do with turmoil in your own family, understand, Jesus never said, you're not going to be troubled in this life. He said just the opposite. We will have trials. And again, my conversation with Walter, I just thought, with all my heart, I don't know what's going on, Walter. I don't know why you're going through this. But I do know this. The Lord Jesus Christ said He's going to come alongside us. Whatever that is. I want to tell you, I would rather suffer with Christ than have no suffering in the world. Because ultimately, I know where I'm going to be. And I know where I'm going to be for an eternity. What's happening in this world, whatever suffering you're dealing with, understand it does not compare to what the Lord Jesus Christ has in store for you. The Bible doesn't talk a lot about it. I wonder, is it because it's so wonderful, it was just indescribable? I don't know, but I know what's most important is I know I'm going to be with the Lord who saved me. Amen. One day I'm going to see Him face to face. Suffering is inevitable. The life is not fair. It's not a biblical concept. Why do we find ourselves always getting so angry and frustrated? Including myself. Why did this happen to me, Lord? I remember as a pastor one time, I remember when I desired to be a pastor, I remember being frustrated that people, this is judgmental, but it's true, I was thinking this, I knew people who lived very immoral lifestyles, who were getting opportunities to preach in behind pulpits, and I said, Lord, well, how can this be? But it happened. I didn't understand it. Still don't understand it. We're just seeing the heel of what's going on in this life. Do you understand? The purposes of God in our own families, in the country, in this world. Can you see, as far as us dealing with suffering, in part what we need to do is focus on seeing the end. Focusing on the reality that what will come is going to be better. I'm not saying we can't enjoy this life. Listen, I enjoy my life. I find joy in it. God intended us to enjoy this life. Amen. He created some wonderful and beautiful things. I have a loving relationship with a lady who I've been married to now for 31 years, soon to be 32. It's a wonderful thing. I have a wonderful relationship with my children. Maybe even a few co-workers. I don't know. I'm not sure. We're meant to enjoy this life, but yet we understand there's more to come. What Jesus Christ has to offer us is so much more. And sometimes when we're in the midst of that suffering, we've got to focus on the end. Listen, if you try to go run a marathon, you try to run long distance. I've run a half marathon, never run a marathon. You've got to be focused on, hey, this is going to end sometime. Right? I enjoyed it. I really did. Parkersburg Half Marathon, one of the most fun things I ever did in my life as far as exercise. Enjoyed it. But I knew it was going to end someday. We have a hope. We have a hope that's guaranteed, right? We don't have a hope like someone playing the lottery. Boy, I hope I win, I hope I win, I hope I win, I hope I win. I have a hope that's promised to me by the Lord Jesus Christ. I know things are going to get better. I don't know when it is or how it is. I realize, though, I'm still looking at the heel. The heel of the statue in my life and in this world. I do know that we're going to win. In Romans 8:28, and he says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. I fear that sometimes people use this verse to justify their sin. I say that because I've had conversations with some who looked at it that way. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Listen, if I go out and I choose to sin, if I choose to do something that's dishonorable to God, if I choose to cheat on my wife, if I choose to get in the car when I'm drunk or a skunk, and then I go and hurt somebody, I don't stand on this verse and say, listen, God planned it. God purposed it. God does not plan for you to sin. Now, don't misunderstand me. God can take the stupidest things we've done, and He can bring honor to Himself. But listen, this verse does not justify you doing anything you want. If you want good to come out of your actions, you got to read the first part. We know that for those who love God, and I want to tell you something, if you're not honoring God with your life, you're not loving God. Amen. If you say, Jesus is my Savior, and then you spend your life living for the world, you're not loving God. Amen. Jesus Himself said, you love me by keeping my, what? Command. You keep my commandments. You keep my commandments. You honor me with your life. That's how you love me. That's what Jesus said. Right? Loving Jesus is not the same as loving your wife or loving your husband, loving a co-worker or whatever you love. Loving Jesus is about giving up and honoring Him with your life. This verse says, as I am loving God, as I am choosing to honor Him with my life, then all things will work together for good. If you're not honoring God, don't expect for good things to come of your actions. But praise God. We can repent. He can turn around and He can make something wonderful. Listen, if you're choosing right now to live God, to live dishonorably before God, if you still have breath in your body, it's time to turn. And you can turn. And He will honor you and bless you for that decision. But don't expect Him to bless each and every decision you're making if you're walking a pathway that's dishonorable to Him. This isn't easy. Jesus didn't call us to do something easy. He called us to do something hard. But what does He say? What does He say about the end? What's Paul say? This is pretty astonishing to me. That we will be highly honored or glorified. Let me read to you verse 30 again. Those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. We will be, and I added, are, and it's my words, highly honored or glorified. Isn't that something to praise God for? He said that you who have chosen to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be highly honored. You will be glorified. The Creator of this universe has looked down upon you and has said, you honor my Son, and understand you will in time be honored and glorified. Yes, I believe wholeheartedly that in some way, shape, or form, Paul speaks of it as being just filthy rags and compared to the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. I don't serve God to obtain my salvation. My salvation came because of what Jesus Christ did for me. And listen, this honoring, this glorifying ultimately comes about because of what Jesus did for me. I can't do enough. This honoring and this glorying is coming from Him. Yes, we are to honor Him, but in time, Paul says that we are going to be glorified. And again, he speaks as if it's already happened. And in God's eyes, it has, because He is the beginning and the end. There's a lot in these verses, and again, I could spend 4 or 5 sermons just talking about them. But again, looking at verse 30, when he said those who he predestined, let me back up to verse 29. For those who he foreknew, he knew ahead of time, even before you were born, what choice you were going to make. And he predestined. He has intentions for your life. The wonderful thing is we get to work it out. Figure it out. Paul uses the term, work out our salvation in fear and trembling. What that says to me is, it's an adventure. It's meant to be an adventure. You serving God. Listen, you don't just look to Rick and say, I'll just do what Rick says. Or what Rick's doing. I don't look to you and say, I'll just do what they're doing. That's something that you work out between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, it is meant to be an adventure. Go read Paul's life. You want to see an adventure. It's intended to be an adventure. It's intended to be something, time that you spend with God that brings honor and glory to Him that ultimately you will find fulfillment in. I think every one of us here wants purpose in our life. We want to feel a sense that what we're doing is bringing value to something bigger than ourselves. I believe that. I believe all of us do. The challenge is we choose to go about it in different ways. Paul's telling us and Jesus is telling us that pathway is to simply serve me. Honor me with your life. And you'll find purpose. Isn't it wonderful to think that the creator of this world reached down to you, each of you, individually, and said, I want you. I want you to be a part of my kingdom. I have something for you. I have a purpose for you. And in time, you'll be honored if you choose to follow it. I can't speak for you, but I serve a big God who is sovereign over His creation. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He knows the outcome of next week, as He knew what was going to happen in our past, the last couple of weeks. He knows who's going to be in office 4 years from now. God already knows that. Why do we struggle with so many things that are out of our hands? We have but one vote for president, or at least legally. Listen, I want to tell you this morning, I'm more worried about your selection of Jesus Christ than who you voted for. Amen. For president. Honestly, I don't even want to know. What I want to know is who you voted for as to be king of your life. That's what I want to know. And listen, if you have accepted Jesus Christ by faith, you're seeing the start. You're seeing the start, and we're promised the end. The challenge is holding on in the middle. That's where we're at right now. We're in the middle, and in that middle, we got to hang on by faith. But listen, God is sovereign over His creation. Put yourself fully in His hands. Trust Him. Lean back upon Him. Think about it. I hope and pray you have someone in your life that when you're with them, you just feel things are going to be okay. You just feel like they don't fix anything, but for some reason their presence just makes you feel like things are going to be okay. I hope you have somebody like that. Praise God, I have more than one somebody who's like that in my life. Obviously, my wife's one of them. The God I serve wants to come alongside you. He wants you to spend time with Him. Spend time with Him in His Word. Spend time with Him in prayer. And He wants you to know that, trust in me. Put yourself, He says, fully in my hands. And regardless of what happens this week, you're going to be okay. I'm going to get you through this. He'll get you through whatever this world brings. He promised us that He will not allow us to fail in fulfilling His purposes for our life and for this world. He will not allow us to fail. Paul said to the church in Philippi in verse 6, chapter 1, and I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at that day of Jesus Christ. Understand, these promises are not for any country. These promises are for individuals who choose to say, I will serve the Lord Jesus Christ. God has not been surprised by anything that has taken place ever in all of creation. Nor will He be surprised in what's going to happen into our future. But understand, we're still just looking at the heel of that statue. We don't understand. We're never going to fully understand. Listen, I think if God even just sat down here and said, hey, come here, Rick, let me tell you, knowing who I am, first of all, do you think I'd really understand it? And secondly, would I want to know everything? Right? There's a country song, I don't remember it now, that talks about the... Not coming to mind. But there's a country song talking about love, right? If I, even if I'd known what happened, I still would have. Anybody help me? You know what I'm talking about? There's probably many of them. I don't know about you, but I'm not so sure I want to know all about my future. All about the future of this country. All I simply want to do is lean on the Lord Jesus Christ. And trust and know that whatever happens, while I'm in this middle section, I knew the beginning. When I proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, I know the end, that eventually I'm going to be honored. I'm going to be glorified because of what He did for me. But in the middle, I'm still working it out. I don't know about you, but I'm loving the ride. I really am. Am I stressed at times? Yes, I am. Am I confused at times? Yes, I am. But I'm loving the ride. I'm loving this middle time. And I want to tell you how I can do that. Because I'm trusting of the one who has told me the end, of the beginning from the end. You're seeing just a small part of what God is doing. You're seeing just the heel of not just your life, but what's going on in the world. Hang on. You who have chosen Him by faith, you will win in the end. Amen. May we lean upon the Spirit of God. Isn't that wonderful to think that Holy Spirit of God even prays for us in ways that we don't even fully understand? Let's pause for a minute. Allow the Holy Spirit to pray for us in the ways that we don't even understand. Let's pray. God, we come to You with humble hearts, offering ourselves up to You, offering our country up to You, offering our world up to You. We ask You to guide us. Help us to, not that we should ignore everything that's happening around us, but that regardless of what's happening around us, that we can be focused on that one purpose that each of us have been individually given, and that is to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to enjoy the ride, this middle ground. Even in the midst of the moments and times when we do not know what's going on, give us strength. Lord, I know there's people right here this morning who are hurting. I know there are people who are hearing this message who are confused, Lord. Give them what it is, whatever it is that they need. Help them to trust in You. We thank and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus has spoken to your heart in any way. If you feel God moving you and you feel the need to have a conversation with Him, it's a wonderful time. The altar is open. Obviously, you can speak to Him right there in your pews. And I hope and pray that as you leave this place, you're continuing to speak to Him. What do we have this morning?
Power in the blood.
Let's stand and sing Power in the Blood.
Precious blood of the Lamb.
time.